Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Don Jackson Blattner, America's favorite registered dietitian and nutritionist. She's an author. You find her at DonJacksonBlattner.com and on Instagram. She's DJ Blattner, joins us Thursdays. Hi, Don. How are you?
Hey, hi there. Thanks for having me. You know, I love this time of the week.
We really appreciate your thoughts and your enthusiasms. Can we dive right in?
Yeah, let's go.
If I'm going to have a soda on the way home from work tonight, should I have a Pepsi or a Diet Pepsi?
Diet Pepsi. Here's the deal. Sugar, we all know, I mean, we hear it all the time. Not good, right? Not good. So regular sodas are loaded with sugar. So the diet version has no sugar. Do we think that perhaps the artificial sweeteners are altering our gut bacteria a bit? Perhaps, right? But it's still no sugar, and that's a better option. Now, this is really a trick question, because there's something better than both of those. Yes, and that is where it comes in the sparkling waters of the world that are lightly flavored. They have no artificial sweeteners. They have no regular sugar. And so that would even be better. But if my question really is regular versus diet, it's going to be diet to decrease that sugar.
I'm a little surprised to hear you say that. What if it was, well, okay, I'm a little surprised to hear you say that, because plenty of us are afraid of the artificial sweeteners. I understand that sugar's bad for my teeth and everything else, but I don't even know what those chemicals are in aspartame or whatever. So I thought if particularly it was just an occasional soda, just occasionally have a sugary one. You don't say so.
You know what? Occasionally, if we're really talking occasionally, pick your favorite, right? So if you are like, okay, I really love this, I really need it. Okay, fine. Once in a blue moon, okay. But if it's something that you really, you're buying it, you're drinking it on your way home, and you're doing it on a more regular basis, sugar is one of those things where, you know what, we eat way too much of it. And particularly, the number one culprit of sugar is sugary drinks. And so that includes sodas, of course, but also, you know, all the, you know, coffee drinks that people get at 3 o'clock and, you know, that kind of smoothie world that where you don't know what's in there. And it could be things like sherbets and ice creams and things like that. So nonetheless, yeah, do what you want if it's once in a while for anything. But really, if I had my choice, it would be always to reduce sugar.
We were talking about planks the other day, and that's the new hot exercise, particularly to lower blood pressure. I think you and I talked about that, too. Do you advocate for those isometric kinds of exercises?
Yeah, so I really enjoy the study of looking at, you know, what kind of exercise is best for blood pressure. And of course, you know, the study is like, hey, listen, all exercise is great. You know, if you're doing weightlifting, if you're doing cardiovascular exercise, it's all great. But this particular study was like, wait a second, also those isometric holds, things that you do and you hold, and an example would be a plank. So you're sitting there, you're holding, you're holding, you're holding. Another example would be something like a wall sit, where you're sort of, you know, doing a squat against the wall, holding, holding, holding. That really is training our blood vessels and our heart to really help our blood pressure levels. And so, yes, this is more good news that no matter what exercise you like, try and throw in a plank, try and throw in a wall sit, or even in the middle of the afternoon, you're sitting too long at your desk. I mean, hey, throw in a plank, throw in a wall sit. And in fact, I think I told you that, you know, one big, you know, aha moment that I have about like why I'm so great at parties is a lot of times I will challenge people at a party to a wall sit, like who can wall sit longer. And so now perhaps you want to invite me to more of your parties.
No, that's not what I was thinking, Dawn. But here's my party trick, and I don't do this so much anymore, but we have a lot of books on bookshelves in our house, and we always have. And in one of the houses, our living room was almost looked like half a library. Two of the walls were all bookshelves, and they were filled with books. And it was about how people's sense of smell can be better than they realize. And the trick was, you tell somebody, see all those books on those walls? Pick one up, hold it, turn a few pages, and put it back. And they do. And then I come back into the room, and I smell you, and then without knowing anything else, I can find the book you last touched by my sense of smell. I have a terrible sense of smell. No, you can. And I mean, and I am terrible at it. My wife, Brenda's got a very acute olfactory sense. She's very, very good. But I would do it, and it would just blow people's minds. I would pull the book out and I go, is this the one? And they go, oh, my God. Oh, and it helps if the lady was wearing cologne, say, or perfume or something. But the soap, the shampoo, we all have an odor. We have a scent, and you can smell it on a book that somebody puts back on the shelf. Try that sometimes, too, when you're not planking.
Yeah, I got to tell you, between the two of us, we really are great at parties. I mean, that is a great trick. My wall sit challenge, great. I mean, yeah. We should be rolling in the friends after this segment.
Yeah, I can see at the party, you and I turn around and we're the only two people left in the room. Everybody is, they're all in the garage drinking around a garbage can. Dawn, yeah. If I'm going to eat a fixed amount of food during the day, and it'll include a bag of peanuts and raisins and a sandwich and an apple and all the food that I'm going to eat during the day, does it matter how I space that out? I find myself eating, say, my lunch in half-hour increments all day long, and I think maybe I'm asking too much out of my digestive system. It would be better if I sent, you know, lunch down in one 15-minute sitting, and then didn't eat anything again until dinner. And then I think, well, what does it matter? It's the total. Or do you think the way we encapsulate the meals matters?
Yeah, the biggest thing that you said in that sentence is the fixed amount. The fixed amount, it does not matter. You graze on it. You can eat it in, we call them boluses, but it's basically one amount and then wait and rest and another one amount. But here's the trick, is that most people are not talking about fixed amounts. Most of us are not these research subjects who are doing something like this. And what ends up happening is the grazers tend not to pick healthy, balanced meals to graze on, and they tend not to have a mindful recall of what they eat. So in general, it is frowned upon in our world to be a grazer because that often is a low nutrient dense, so not a lot of nutrition in those snacks, and people have a hard time getting full when they're just grazing. If you were in a research study and you guaranteed it's a fixed amount, it wouldn't matter. But for most free-living people, it's better to eat a solid, balanced meal, let it digest, and eat another solid, balanced meal so that you actually get full.
815 says, can you please define a plank? That's where you look it up if you must, but it's like you're almost in a push-up position, except you're not. Your hands aren't flat against the ground. You're using your forearms kind of in a V in front of you, but your back and legs and butt are all straight as a board. You're like a plank, and you're holding yourself up with your forearms on the ground. And it's really hard to do for a long time, like a minute. You'll be screaming, but that's a good exercise. Can you ask Dawn about sugar alcohol? I see it in some protein bars. Is it something you should stay away from?
Okay, so sugar alcohol is another example of how we are trying to decrease sugar in many foods. So sugar substitutes like artificial sweeteners is one version. Sugar alcohols is another version of how to cut sugars. Now, for most people, sugar alcohols are fine. There's really no negative research about them, and that's a fine thing. Except there are a group of people, and who knows what the percentage is. It might even be up to a third of people. Sugar alcohols cause major GI, gastrointestinal, stomach bloating and distress. And so things like sugar-free gum, sugar-free candies, like this person mentioned, some energy bars, those are the things that if you notice you eat them and you feel really kind of sick or bloated, it's probably the sugar alcohols in there that are doing it.
All right.
So if you know you're sensitive, avoid.
Can you ask Dawn if uncured bacon is better for you than the other bacon?
Oh, this is such an interesting question. Listen to this.
Okay, good. I just thought you would say, how about no bacon? But go ahead, Dawn.
Here's the thing. It will say on the front, uncured bacon. And you think, oh my gosh, this is so great. I'm going to buy that. It's healthier. However, there has nothing been proved that that is healthier for you because what those companies are doing is they're actually still curing it, but they're using a natural sort of celery salt to do it. So by law, they're allowed to say uncured because they're using natural celery salt. But people who are saying that processed meats are not so great for us are still lumping in those uncured versions and saying, hey, listen, you can't go, you know, hog wild on those either. You can use them, but just keep those moderate as well.
Okay, well, that brings me to news.medical.net. The replacement of regular salt with a salt substitute can reduce incidences of hypertension or high blood pressure in older adults without increasing their risk of low blood pressure episodes. You want to talk about that for just a minute? What do you like for salt substitutes?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting study. It came out last month in the Journal of American College of Cardiology, and what they did is they took a little over 600 people, 55 years and older, and they put half the people on regular salts, and they put half the people on a salt substitute, and not just any kind of salt substitute. This was potassium chloride. So we've a little bit talked about that on the show. That typical table salt is sodium chloride. That's when we say salt, we're actually saying sodium chloride. Now, potassium tastes very similar to salt, so some salt substitutes are called potassium chloride, or in the store, you would find it as salt light, L-I-T-E. And so anyway, they did this, and they followed these people for 2 years. And after the 2 years, the people using the salt substitute, that potassium chloride, the salt light, were 40% less likely to get high blood pressure. So this was a really a very interesting study of not saying, hey, if you have high blood pressure, this is going to cure everything. It's saying, hey, if you want to try and avoid it, you know it's in your family history. Consider these potassium chloride salt substitutes. However, listen to this. I start reading the study deeper. I said, wow, my gosh, 40% less likely to get high blood pressure. This is amazing. Read. There it is. Guess what? These people are in places that have a chef, basically. They have someone cooking all their meals for them. So not only are they using a salt substitute, they are not using processed foods or going to restaurants. Only one time a week were they allowed food that was processed or a restaurant type of food. So this is really not telling us that salt substitutes are magic. It's saying, yes, this is a great idea to use a salt substitute if you are mostly cooking at home your food. Because as we know, most of the salt that we are getting in our diet is coming from processed foods and restaurant foods. So even if you're thinking about doing the salt shaker swap, which I think is a great idea, really paying attention to cooking more at home is really the next very important step.
Understood. Dawn Jackson-Blattner, author and registered dietitian and nutritionist, DawnJacksonBlattner.com on Instagram, DJ Blattner. Hey, John, I'm sorry I missed the earlier portion of Dawn's segment. Does she recommend regular pop or sugar-free? Shocked, I say. I was shocked when she said, go with the diet soda, but frankly, she'd rather you have a flavored sparkling water. But Dawn doesn't like the sugar. She says, drink a diet soda if you must. Dawn, how do I... Oh, by the way, Dawn, so here's the dirty dozen, according to somebody. Approximately 95% of non-organic strawberries, spinach, kale, collard greens, grapes, peaches, pears, nectarines, apples, bell and hot peppers, cherries, blueberries, and green beans are on the dirty dozen. This is what an environmental group says are, I guess, fruits and vegetables we need to wash. What do you want to tell us about that?
Okay, so yes, every single year, Environmental Working Group, the EWG, puts out what's called the Dirty Dozen List, and that's what you just listed. And basically what this is saying is that, you know, all of our fruits and vegetables have pesticides on there, you know, but these particular 12, if you have resources and want to buy them organic, those would be the 12 to spend your money on organic. Now, I will tell you, in the expert field of nutrition, this list could not be more controversial. This is so controversial. And the reason being is that 9 out of 10 people don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. And so what this does is it stirs up a lot of fear. And a lot of people say, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm scared of all these fruits and vegetables. It's dirty. Oh, my gosh. And so they are avoiding them. And so it's a really big controversy to say, listen, any fruits and vegetables you eat, whether it's organic or conventionally grown, is critical to your health. It's critical that you eat more fruits and vegetables, any type. However, if you also want to spend money in the organic realm, consider getting one of these 12 or all of these 12 in the organic. No matter if we're talking about organic or conventionally grown produce, you must wash it. I don't care where you're buying it. I don't care what type it is. You must wash it. And it really doesn't have to be any special. I know TikTok has a bunch of ideas of how you could wash your produce. But really, the main thing to do is under running water, you agitate it with your hands. You just make sure that you are working it with your hands. If it's something that feels like you might need a brush with it, you know, like a very hard cucumber skin or something, you know, you could use a brush. But really, just running water on your hands, and that is the safest way to wash your produce. But again, wash all your produce.
Yeah.
And just eat it. And just eat it. Please don't be afraid of produce. Just eat it.
Steve Bertrand just texted me and said, the critics say that Dirty Food Study Group is funded by the organic farms. So they want you to buy their stuff. But when I wash any fruits or vegetables, am I trying to wash pesticides off or just debris in general? I just want to get any other stuff off of there.
Yeah, absolutely both. The answer is both. So yes, you're going to get dirt off there. All the whatever it's been on in the truck that it's been delivered to, whoever's touched it and squeezed it in the store, you're trying to get that off, and the first layer of any sort of chemicals that have been used to grow it. You know, the main sort of thought is, you know, our food is supervised, that, you know, even if there are pesticides, those are being checked that they're at, you know, the right levels for us to maintain our health. So at the end of the day, like I said, if you do choose to buy organic, you could use this list of 12 things to choose. But otherwise, just make sure you eat your produce.
Give me 25 seconds on grazing. I'm getting text messages from people saying, but I'm a good grazer. I eat bananas or pistachios and fruit throughout the day. Is that okay?
Yeah. So traditionally, a balanced meal has whole grain, protein, fruits, vegetables, and fats. And so even if a grazer is choosing healthy things, they tend not to have a huge diversity of all of those food groups. So, you know, maybe they're getting a lot of fruit, but not enough vegetables. Maybe they're getting, you know, a lot of fruits and vegetables, but they're not snacking on whole grains or getting enough quality fats. And so it tends to be grazers don't have balance in what they are eating. And like I said, most grazers have a difficult time actually getting full, because they're just eating 100 calories here, 50 calories here, 100 calories here, and start adding up without feeling that fullness sensation.
All right, time's up, Don. By the way, what's healthier, the black jelly bean or the green jelly bean? I'm thinking green because that's more organic. It's vegetable-like.
I don't know. Do you trust people who like black jelly beans? I'm not sure. I don't know.
All right, I don't know. Don Jackson Blattner is an author, registered dietitian, nutritionist, and friend of ours. On Instagram, DJ Blattner, DonJacksonBlattner.com is her website. Don, we love you. America needs you. We'll visit with you next week.
Perfect.